Yeah. You ever feel like you're being singled out? We're going to be in James. I'm Doug. I'll be filling in for Seth again. That's all the mileage I'll try to get out of that. We're in James chapter 1. And as you're turning there, no apologies, but if today seems a little hard, was too straightforward for some, I think it's time that we all kind of put our big boy pants on and big girl, because we are in a time right now like there's never been, at least in my 74 and a three quarter years. And it's going to get worse. We're in a battle. And if we don't think we're in a battle, I think it's time that we wake up out of the sleep that we're in. Every battle is something that leads to a war. A war just doesn't have one fight. Many battlefields, many spots that battles arise, but they all comprise of one thing, and that's a war. And we're either going to win or we're going to lose. And the good news is we've already won. But in this battle, I think that some of us are just, we're not fighting. I'm not fighting the way that I know I can, the way that I know I should, and the way I know that my Lord and Savior is asking me on a daily basis. Now you take your line or whatever you're trying to hold. That's between you and God. But I think His word is the only thing that's going to get us to survive what is coming. It's the good news I used to say years ago, it's only going to get worse before it gets better. If any of us think that just the right administration or the right area to live in, state, is going to change things, it's not. Until Jesus Christ returns, until He sets things right, that's when it's going to be right. But don't miss all the good stuff that He's got for us in the middle of these battles that every one of us are fighting in one way or the other. And it's always good when you're in a battle, when you're in a fight, to know who your enemy is. So I guess that would, if we were going to title this, which we haven't done since who knows when. Howard used to give titles to every sermon here. But know your enemy. And your enemy is not God. Period. Amen. Amen. Capitals. Quotes. Your enemy is not God. And if you're in here today and you're not saved, you haven't given your life over to Jesus Christ, He still is not your enemy. He will be our judge, good or bad. Every one of us will stand before Him and give an answer for what we have done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. So in the meantime, we have a little time left. And this whole week, I mean, I've just been seeing God in everything, trying to get me to surrender just a little bit, not a whole lot. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be, you know, these saints walking around with, you know, auras around us. Just do, Doug, what I created you to do and listen to me like an obedient child. And that's where today is going to, I think, stem from, along with Rob whispering in my ear after worship, go get them, give it to them, and I'm giving it to me. I stand up here. I'm not one who has it all down, and I'm trying to get you to line up with the way that Doug lives his life. I'm just trying to get us all to be one body in motion, a loving body that listens to the Lord, that holds this word dear, that we try our very best to do what it is that we hear that He's telling us, which we're going to get to in maybe a few weeks. But in the meantime, that we love one another. We fight with one another. We battle with one another. We hold one another up. We welcome each other. We pray for one another. And we confess. We listen to the worship songs today. Every one of us, we're going to mess with you. Somebody's probably messing up right now in their head saying, oh, I was nicking our lips. And that wasn't tongues. That was just what's going on in your head. Just confess immediately and watch what God can do in our lives. We don't do that. We run with our own emotions. We run with our own feelings. We run with our own thoughts and think it's okay because nobody really knows, but God knows. And my biggest wake up to see where my, I watch too much news to begin with, but what I see today with the police department and our soldiers and our border patrol, being an ex-cop myself, I see stuff going on that just infuriates me. Put me on the field, coach. I'm ready to play. And when they used to put me on, all I had was a blue helmet that some of you saw in my garage. Today, they walk around like hockey players. Have you seen them? You know, and they need it because we're in a battle. And my sergeant used to turn us out and say, be careful out there. We're in a battle. And if you forgot that, it might be the fact that you'll never come back and put your uniform in your locker by yourself. So we're in a battle today, and I want us to hear what God is saying, what he's trying to tell each of us, not just what Doug is trying to say. So that's where this came from. So last week, I better get going. Seth, I felt, did a great job showing us where temptation comes from. And, you know, I said, know your enemy. I guess another title could be the blame game. You know, because we love to blame everybody else but me, right? It's always everybody else but me. I mean, there were years of our life that I was 100% wrong, but I would blame her. The only reason I did that is because you got me really mad and you wouldn't stop. The only reason I did that is because you did this. The only reason that I did this is because you... What is wrong with us? Romans 2:1 says, what you accuse others of, you're guilty yourself. So once we get that into our ear gates and start understanding, she's not responsible for my behavior. I am. Satan is not responsible for my behavior. I am. He only has the power that I give, well, that God first gives to him. It's limited. But he only has the power in my life with what I yield to, what I give to him. I owe him nothing. I owe God everything. And I think that's what James is just starting off this part that we're in, trying to explain that to these believers, how good God is, how much he loves us, the power that we really have and what exists within us, the power that raised Jesus Christ. Do we think about it enough? So Seth showed us where this temptation comes from and where the blame really lies. There's an argument there that we can all have. But if you remember, the blame lies when we give into it to who? Oh, we blame Satan. That's like a release, isn't it? Oh, the devil made me do it. Flip Wilson is long gone, folks. Long gone. The devil did not make me do it. He dangled it. Seth showed us, the word of God showed us where that temptation and the giving into it and our failures, if we could call it that, our faults and our shortcomings, they come from Doug. Look at that. Don't let anybody say when he's tempted of God in verse 13 that God did it. Every man in verse 14 is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. This is like fishing. And I look, I'm a fisherman. Tommy, you're a fisherman. I look, how many other fishermen you got? Many fish bite if you got the right bait, right? So when Satan's out there doing a couple casts, he knows he's not going to throw that. No trout should ever be caught on a worm. If I can teach you anything, use a fly, please. But those, what is being said here is just like fishing. You know, it's just, here's the bait. Move it the right way. Dangle it the right way. Make it look like this. That's what Satan is doing, but it's my lust. He can't get me on something that really doesn't bother. Like, oh, Doug, start smoking, you know, Cuban cigars. I'm not going to do that. I got asthma. You know, I'm smart enough, and I don't do it. Why don't I do it? But when Satan throws that right fly on there and just moves it, Doug bites right away. Why is that? You know why? And I came to the I was thinking last night, Mom, 50 reasons why I do things. And my ex-partner told me at one time, you are an expert at rationalization. And at first I took it, like I've said to you, I took it as a compliment. And then all of a sudden it hit. And I looked at him, he was driving. I said, that wasn't a compliment, was it, Pete? And he goes, no, that wasn't a compliment at all. We all have reasons why we do things. But you know why we don't listen to God the way we should? It's because I don't want to. I don't know about you. I don't want to. The temptation is too great. Well, wait a minute. Greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. That's dangling whatever bait gets you caught on the end of that hook. No? Yeah. So the blame game. Jerry, classic guilt transferal. Isn't that what they call it? Classic guilt transferal. The drunk always blames somebody else. He blames his parents for being alcoholics. He blames his friends for annoying him. He blames a spouse, or she blames his spouse. Happy Mother's Day. Wait a minute. God bless all you mothers. Without you, we wouldn't be here. And if you've still got a mother, bless her today beyond measure. Read Proverbs 31, if you would. Read it to her. Read it to her with your heart. Maybe even tell her how she fits into Proverbs 31. And thank you, mothers. Sorry that I got off before even thinking of that. So it's my fault, is what the word is telling me, not somebody else's. My fault. I'm caught by my own bait, basically. Caught by my own bait. Satan just can go all day long trying something in your life that just doesn't bother you. But all of a sudden, something gets you, because that's what you like. Pinpoint what our problem is. Confess what our problem is. Make sure we own up to it, not waiting for that day we have to stand in front of judgment. I'm going to give you this just so nobody feels like I'm picking on you. This is me. I'm a pastor, yeah? I've been a pastor for 44 years or something like that. I don't know what it is. And I went by McDonald's on 28th Street yesterday. You know where that is? Giant sign, now hiring. $18.50 to $21. Right next to the sign is another guy with a sign. So I started to roll down my window. Pat goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to tell him that they're hiring in there for $18 to $21. Why does he want my money?" She just told me, "You're going to go to jail." She told me a lot of other things. But do you hear what I'm trying to say? I'm your pastor. I'm your pastor. And I mean, it just took me and crushed me. I realized 44 years and I'm still the same old stinking flesh that God saved me from. I'm a work in progress. But don't let that old, whoever your name is, don't let that old hand from the grave reach up and grab you anymore. The time's too short. We're in a battle and people need to see Jesus Christ before that battle is over for each and every one of us. So Satan and God, we're in a battle. Know your enemy. I'm going to take up in verse 16. And I feel that this is the hinge pin to everything that God has been trying to show me, and I hope to you. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness of, or neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Father God, help us to open our ears. And then we ask by the Spirit of God that you would allow this to fall deep into our hearts today. Take root. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You know, before we get going on, turn to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter. First Peter 5. Let's listen to verses 6 through 11. Remember, I was saying, know who your enemy is, and it's not God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Due time. And this is when temptation comes our way. This is when trials comes our way. This is when I don't feel like really acting and being and submitting in the way I should as a Christian to my Lord and Savior. I need to humble myself before him. And in due time, when I think he really sees our heart and knows we're moving towards this, that's when I'll be lifted up. Casting all my care upon him, for he cares for you. Do we understand that? Casting, what's your care today? Apply this now to your life like he's been trying to get me to apply it to mine. Cast your care on him. We serve such a big God, and we've got such a little worm enemy. He was assigned to crawl on his belly like a snake, remember? That's what God did to him in the very beginning. We've got such a big God. Why can't I do Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding. Acknowledge him in all my ways. That's everything that's getting me to a point where I feel like something's happening that I don't like, and he'll direct my paths. That's why James said, don't err. Don't err. Don't miss this. Don't miss it, because we're in a battle. So let's continue that. 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you and I, the devil, this is our enemy. This is the person we fight in a battle. People don't like to hear about Satan today. They don't like that, or we use him as the excuse, but they don't like to hear about him. He's as real can be. Jesus Christ spoke of him as much, if not more, than anyone else in here to beware of, to watch out for. Be sober. That means clear-minded. Start to walk circumspectly. See what's really happening. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Roaring lion. So what does he do? He separates out of herds. I kept 44 years on a ranch. We got 300 elk there. When the coyotes, when the wild dogs come in there, those elk, all the females, we're the guys at first, the bulls are off to, they circle all their young. They make a full circle and hold them in there. And they keep barking and they keep going. That's what Satan's doing. He tries to cull out the weak, the old, whatever, who's trying to leave that protective circle. That's what he's doing to us. And that's why in these last days we need each other more than we ever have in the past. This place is a hospital for the hurting, not a mausoleum for old saints and what I did, what I used to do, what's going on. We need each other. We need each other drastically with all of our warts and our everything that we've got. We should be able to say, look, I am doing this. I don't like this. I don't believe whatever it is. We should be able to do that instead of, oh, no, you have to be just like Doug. You have to walk the walk just like me. This is what Satan is trying to do with us, and that's the growl that this toothless lion has. And listen, keep going. Whom resist, in verse 9, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh, I must be the only one. No, we're not. Everybody's got these problems. But, I love it in 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, underline this, please. If you feel good about it, after that you have suffered a while. We just want it to be over, right? When's this going to end? I want it over. I don't want this bothering me anymore. It's taking up all my fun time. I'm consumed. I can't sleep at night. After we've gone through the battle, and there's going to be destruction, there's going to be cleanup, there's going to be injuries, there might even be death in a sense. After all of that, that's when God is going to clean up that battlefield. He'll make us perfect or mature, establish us, strengthen us, settle us. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Whoa. Remember, we're in a battle. Ephesians 6. Read that. Read that over and over. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling Biden and Trump and the liberals and the Democrats and the Republicans and the moderates. We're not wrestling that. This is a battle of good and evil. Amen. Spiritual wickedness, as it says in Ephesians 6, that we battle not. It's not me and Ted, and we don't. I don't think I've ever had a fight with you, really. Let's have one. Come on. Let's verbal. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But spirit, powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places is what the Lord is saying. Therefore, put on the whole armor. We need the helmet, the breastplate, to guard our loins, our feet being shod, praying for one another, crying for one another instead of saying, boy, I'm glad that one's gone. This is what God is doing. This is what Satan is doing. But we are masters of guilt transferal. What's Satan doing in your life? Turn to Genesis 3. What's Satan? You know, what part does he have? Again, remember, he only has the power that you and I give to him. Or he only has the entrance into your life and mine that God allows him to have, as seen in Job. Okay, you can test Tommy. Okay, you can test her. But this is as far as you go. He puts him in a little box. And that's the battle that we're in. And I want to show us Satan and God. So what's Satan doing? Chapter 3, if you're there, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? First thing, cast doubt on the shadow comes over you of what God really said. Get to the word and find out if you can't remember. But this is his tactic. And in the art of war, Sun Tzu, it says, you know your friends, but know your enemy better. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I mean, there's such a plan in this thing that we can't miss it. And here's what Satan is doing in every one of our lives, trying to cast a shadow of doubt on God's word. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it or touch it. Where do you say that? You ever notice how you can change God's word to fit your program for the course of the day or just maybe forget about it? And the serpent said unto a woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Question God's word, we see in there. Deny God's word, verse 4. Substitute God's word, verse 5. This is still his tactic. He hasn't changed. There's nothing new in Satan's tactics. They're the same old stuff, but yet we're getting caught by our own bait. Well, time-wise, I don't know if I have. I'm going to have you jump. You read that. Look at six. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Our sin, our disobedience to God always will take somebody else down, guaranteed. Whatever I'm disobedient to in one form or another will take someone else down. And we can jump down to 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Sin will always make us hide from each other, won't it? But you can't hide from God. We'll hide from each other. We don't want to admit that we have this pride. I do this. I don't do that. We don't want to do that because somebody might think less of me. How about God, who knows, thinking less of Doug? Why aren't I so concerned about that? Adam, his wife, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the tree of the garden. Sin will always break fellowship with God. The cost of hiding will break our fellowship with God. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Where are you at, Adam? Doug, where are you at this week? And I'd say we all need to ask ourselves, where am I really at? You don't have to tell me. But confess to God where we're at, and he'll forgive. We have that word, right? If we confess what's really the problem, you know, I can have the ex-Roman Catholics, which my wife is, at confession, you only told really what you wanted to. Or you made something else up. God knows it all. So why don't we just tell him, where am I at? Here's where I am, Lord, and I'm sick and tired of it. If that's you today, if it's me, He's going to grab us. He's going to pull us in and say, okay, I got this. I got you. Remember I said we're masters at rationalization, why we don't listen to God. We're masters again at the art of classic guilt transferal. If you didn't get me, if you didn't do that, I wouldn't have done this. Yes, we probably would have. Because how many times do you hear God saying, sir, don't say it, Doug. And you wait and you wait, and then all of a sudden there's a break and you say it. It's me. It's not the devil. It's not God. And here's our lack of holiness is not someone else's fault. Verse 12, and the man said, the woman who you gave me, she gave me of the tree to eat it. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that you've done? And the woman said, it's the serpent. You know, it's the blame game. The blame game. Why I don't listen to God. And our key verse, remember, do not err, my brethren. Your word might say, be deceived. We deceive ourselves. We think we're fine. We think everything's all right. Sometimes when Pat's 100% right and telling me, and I'm so angry and I yell back at her and I say, but it's okay for you to say that about me. And she goes, yeah, because you usually are the one that does that. Or you are the one that's wrong. So I'd be quiet and I think, I am. I never should have said that. There's no reason for that. And that's us, guilt transfer. We're always pointing at somebody else or some other reason when it's, don't err, my beloved brethren, about everything that we've heard from James so far. And that word err in the Greek is wander. See, it's not, I'm not deceived. Yes, I am. I'm deceived into thinking that everything I do that God is not behind is okay because everybody else does it. My gosh, Alice does it. You know, the only one that I couldn't say was Betty Mosh. And maybe even Betty messed up at times. I don't know. But it's me. And it has nothing to do with the guilt transferal that we do with each other constantly. So keep on. You can finish that one.
One more
said from the sleep in the back. Don't err. Don't wander. Don't be deceived. Don't go astray is what God is telling us. In one, turn back to James so you could look at it. And if you hadn't underlined it yet, like I said, this is a hinge pin of everything he said up to this verse. And it's going to be the hinge pin on where we think, who's doing this? Who's my ally? Who's my enemy? Don't err. Don't be deceived. Don't go astray. This is the hinge pin for my spiritual wisdom. We saw what Satan was doing in the garden. He's still doing that. Let's see what God does in his unlimited power. See, Satan, again, I'll mention, he only has certain power. Why did I do that? The real answer before God is because I wanted to, because it felt good, because it just hurts too much to be doing it your way. I want to do it my way. Boy, it's a simple battle. We're equipped. We have all the stuff we need to go into this battle, yet we walk onto the battlefield without it, and the enemy gets the victory. Don't get this wrong. We need to thank God every day, even when we mess up, how much he still loves me, how much he still grants me favor, how much he's willing to leap over whatever my mountain is that I'm trying to, and give me a hand up. Thankfulness, gratitude. Don't ever keep looking at, what a simple verse. It's almost like Jesus wept, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible. And I think at times he still weeps for me. Oh, Doc, why? He didn't have to. He didn't have to go through that. You don't have to do that. We got this. That's it. That verse is just unbelievable. Remember what he's done up to today in your life. Sit down and think about it. We think about next week and what's going to happen if I don't have all the ranch piled into the trailer and off there. What's going to happen? What am I going to do?
I'm coming over.
Give it to Robbie. No, it's, you know, we do that, but why don't we think more on what God has done up to this point? up to today. Well, he's going to do exactly what he was doing, and he's going to keep doing it tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. God's going to do that. He's not my enemy. He's my ally, and I need to know this. So remember what he's done for you, the great, the small, the little things. And then start to surrender to what I feel that he's asking me right now to do, that he knows is better for me. I have to surrender that. Pat can't do it for me. None of you guys can do it for me. Nobody else can. I've got to go to him with his word and realize what he's doing. Turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would. Chapter 1. I want us to hear this. In the midst of our temptation, don't err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Remember, that's what we were reading today. That's the context of what God's trying to tell us. And in him, he doesn't change. He's the same as he was. If I read to you, I wanted to read from Jeremiah. I wanted to read from Chronicles. I'm going to, with time looking at it, I'm going to slow up a little bit. He was the same then, the things that he told them, although it was specific for them, it has application for us. There is no variableness of his turning away. There is no shadow as there, you know, God is the Father of lights. He doesn't bring us into darkness. God is the Father of lights, and that light is not only the heavenlies, the sun and the moon and the stars and everything that we can't even see. He's also the Father of lights as far as illumination to our minds. All of a sudden, the light goes on. Wow. That's what you were trying to say. Maybe it took you until today. It might take you till next year for the little light to come on, and it's like, wow, Father, that's what you're trying to show me. Because we're busy trying to fix all these other things instead of what he's trying to show us. And Satan deceives us, gets us to think like he did with Adam and Eve, and all of a sudden we go off on our little merry way again. But in 2 Corinthians 1, let's listen to what God is saying. Matter of fact, I have to go back. Give me one more, Robbie, from the back. I'll finish this next week. We see what Satan's doing. He's trying to separate you and I from God, period. That's it. He doesn't care about us one bit, not one bit. And he doesn't care what bait it takes to get you, to get you, to get you, to get you. Doesn't care what bait. He's got a whole tackle box full of it that he'll throw out for everyone, knowing that will do. I want to hear what God is doing for me, what he has to offer me. And look at this Corinthians, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. He's the Father of mercies. We heard he's the Father of lights. He doesn't change like us. I was thinking about that one. Yeah, there's no shadow in it. I mean, he's always light. He's always light. You know, we go out there at noon and stand there like this, and the shadow, depending on where you, which way, we'll see that shadow. And that's that sun. But wait until about 5 o'clock and stand in the same place. Where's my shadow? Oh, it's over there now. So that's how fickle we are. But God's not like that. He's always light. He's always trying to shine that knowledge of who he is into our hearts by the trials, by the temptations that we're going through. But yet, sometimes we kind of go to the darkness to hide a little bit, don't we? The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, paraclesis, one who comes aside, one who comes along, and at times he picks us up and carries us. We have the God of all mercy, the God of all light, the God of all comfort. And that comfort, that word comfort is encouragement. It's a word of alleviation in grief. It covers so much. My idea of comfort is the recliner and a good movie and a handful of snacks. That's comfort, isn't it? Or good, and Miss might tell you, it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, and corn would be great. Yeah, okay. The God of all comfort in your grief, in my grief, alleviation, encouragement, Exhortations come from his words. He's trying to entreat us. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. Oh, there's that tribulation again popping up. Trials, troubles, tribulations. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Are we allowing this to set into our lives on a moment-by-moment basis? What did we just sing with the Skitch Henderson, follow the bouncing ball? I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. I need him every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year. It doesn't end. He's a God of all comfort. I need him. And why am I going through this? And if I listen to him, it's because he's saying, well, you know what, Cece? You know what, William? I'm going to set this divine appointment up. I don't know how he does it. And you'll be in front of somebody who is having the same thing that God brought you through. And we can well say, this is what God did for me. Other than, oh, just suck it up and knuckle down and you'll get through this. The God of all comfort, and what he wants to do is in my troubles and trials that we've been reading, don't err, Doug, verse 16 again. Why am I going? Why me, Lord? I've said this. Why not you, God says? Why my troubles? Why my losses? Why not, Doug? In your weakness, my strength can be seen. In your weakness, my strength can be seen. In your weakness. He doesn't want to see how strong we are. Satan goes about as a roaring lion, doesn't he? We just read that. But you know what God does? God's eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for someone to show their God strong, mighty, able, capable. Whew. That blows me. As Reuben used to say, I can't wrap my head around this. But it's time that we better do it. So we're in this. So I wanted to go to 8, but you can't miss those couple. Here's my last one. For we were in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came unto us in Asia. That we were. Listen to this. You know, it's like it's only me. My troubles are so big, maybe even too big for God. No, they're not. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we desired even of life. They wanted to die. Do you understand? You ever get that feeling? It'd be so much easier just to go home. Yes, it would, but what an escapist attitude. Because there's one more person out there that God's got for your life and mine that need to hear that Jesus loves them before they go to that. But these guys wanted to die. The things that we're going through, the word just before said, all of our brethren, all of our sisters are going through this same thing. But, verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. Huh, I'll get through this. I'll do okay without him. I'll do okay without her. I'll do okay if I say this. God won't see you. I mean, these are the things that Satan is whispering in our ears. This is Proverbs 3. That we wouldn't trust in myself, trust in the Lord, if I can say it again, can I? With all my heart, not just the things that I'm willing to give up, but with all my heart, especially in the hard things, acknowledge him in all my ways. I want to tell that guy that they're hiring there, Pat. No, that's my way. That's not God's way. But I want to yell at him, or I want to yell at her. No, that's not God's way. Trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge him in all my ways. Please, God, help me now. Not later on after I'm done verbally vomiting on my wife, husband, friend, neighbor. Right now. Boom. Stop. And listen to 10. This is 3D. I went to see Godzilla versus whoever with my great-grandson. They had it in 3D. And the glasses aren't cardboard anymore. They're like these real nice. I almost kept them for some kind, but Pat threw them away. Why do you need these? I don't know. 3D, Godzilla and Mothra, and they all came together and saved the world. It was almost as bad as the popcorn I was eating, I'll tell you. But listen to this. This is 3D in verse 10. who delivered us. Do we hear the tense of the words that God, the Holy Spirit, is using in our lives? Who delivered us? You are delivered already from the habits, the problems, the lack of trust, we already are. Who delivered? Paul used that. From so great a death, we're saved, we're going to heaven, but it doesn't end there. And doth deliver. He's doing it right now, this minute, and he'll do it tomorrow, and he'll do it the next day, in whom we trust that he will yet, what does your word say? Deliver us. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. He will deliver us. Why are we giving in to Satan, who promises us nothing but death? I don't know how that's going to help you this week. I got more, but I'm going to end it because I can't teach you anything that I'm not at least an overcomer in a sense or willing to give up myself. But let's take this and do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not, how simple is that? Don't wander from what God's trying to say to you. Don't wander from what he's trying to teach us and instruct us through these short, slight afflictions that we live in right now. We can, and we are, we're delivered already. We're victorious. It doesn't mean we'll be champions and on top being an overcomer in your problem, but God is there with us. Know your enemy. Be careful out there. We're in a battle. Father God, help us. Help each one of us in the stage that we're at, our positions in life, Father, where we are in our maturity or lack of with you. Let us understand that you are for us, that the enemy of our soul cannot be. He's against us, Lord, just trying to separate us from you, but it's not going to happen. So help us, Father God, to just turn to you. Turn immediately from that dark, then we feel it coming over us. Immediately, Lord, not afterwards. And just watch what our Lord, mighty in battle, strong to save, wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. Let us see, Father, what you can do with the life of Doug Gibney. We're all yours if we've surrendered, Lord. We have no right to ourselves any longer. Help us be those people that you want us to be. Help us while we struggle in this body of flesh, Father, these earthen vessels, these cracked pots, as we like to excuse ourselves with, so that the very next time that we have a choice to obey Satan or you, the next time we know what your word is saying, but he convinces us maybe it's something else, we'll be able to say, get behind me, Satan. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.